Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Let us turn our attention to Ukraine now. Russia is evacuating thousands more civilians from the Kursk region as Ukrainian forces advance further into Russian territory following last week's surprise attack. For more, I'm joined on the line by Patrick Bury, defence and security expert at the University of Bath and a former NATO analyst and army officer. Good morning, Patrick. Good to have you with us again. Before we talk about the success of this incursion, can we go back to first principles, please? What's the motivation? Why do you think Ukraine is doing this?
Good morning, Philip. I think there's a number of motivations. And if you look at the sort of the operational ones, so the most obvious, it seems to be there's three to four. First of all, to relieve pressure, the Ukrainian army is under intense pressure in the Donetsk region. The Russians are making steady incremental gains, and it's proving very difficult to stop them down there. So by attacking somewhere undefended, less defended, into Russian territory, it's going to make the Russians choose where do they put their reserves, essentially. Now, they may be able to, they've got a larger force than the Ukrainians, they may be able to keep attacking in Donetsk, but they'll have to take troops from somewhere else. And indeed, there's evidence they already are.
Is there evidence that they have taken the bait on that then? That they are diverting resources?
Yeah, there is some evidence now that they're moving forces from other areas, but not Donetsk. So they're trying to basically have their cake and eat it, the Russians are, which is contain Kursk and keep attacking in Donetsk, but move forces from other places, like even as far as Crimea out. So that's the first one, draw off pressure. The second one is obviously to deliver a morale boost for the Ukrainian army, which has been under this intense pressure, and also the Ukrainian nation, you know. And it's been a surprise to even people in the Ukrainian government. It was a surprise to me that the Ukrainians had this kit and were able to do it so well. So I think it's that aim has already been achieved, at least in the short term. And I think finally, of the operation objectives, it was an eye on destabilizing Putin. You know, taking the fight to Russia, making him evacuate, as we've seen, hitting about 150,000 Russian civilians. It's not a good look for a man who portrays himself as Mr. Security.
There's a very big difference, though, between being an invading army moving into very loosely defended territory and then being an occupying army that manages to hold on to that territory. Do you think that that's the aim?
I think the longer it goes on, it's more likely that the Ukrainians will stay. I think this is an operation that's been planned for a long time. And that may hint that its strategic objective was to take territory. Potentially, it would have been planned when a Trump presidency looked much more likely than it does now. And that under those conditions, Ukraine would be expecting to potentially be forced into negotiations with Russia in January. So an eye on keeping some territory ahead of those, I think, would have been one of the strategic objectives. And therefore, I would be more surprised the longer this goes on if the whole of that, and they are very good forces, they don't want to get chewed up and spat out by the Russians, withdrew back into Ukraine. I think it's more likely they may have to withdraw a bit as the Russians stabilize the lines and start to reduce them. But I think that they'll want to keep some of Russian territory.
Okay. Are defence analysts like you impressed by what Ukraine has done here, or was this fairly low-hanging fruit?
No, this was impressive. I mean, most of us didn't think that they had, as I said, the manpower and the kit to do this, and thought that they would keep them in reserve for a potential Russian advance in Donetsk. So it was the OPSEC, the operational security was very good. They're clearly backed again, like they were in Kharkiv offensive in 2022, backed by Western intelligence. And the way it's been executed is very good. So they've had the Western supplied mechanized forces backed up by Western air defense and other assets and electronic warfare to keep the Russian drones away. And the drones are increasingly important. So they've put a bubble over the forces, Philip.
Is it also, though, perhaps, Patrick, a bright, shiny distraction for all of us to look at? Because What ultimately it has been suggested is going to win this war for Ukraine is if it completely reorganizes its economy onto an industrial war footing and that they start manufacturing the stuff that they are currently getting from the West themselves. And the evidence is that that isn't happening and that there hasn't been the mobilization of troops that Ukraine is going to require to match Russian manpower. And that, you know, until you do that, Crimea and Donetsk are going to remain in Russian hands.
To an extent, but I would say, you know, Ukraine has gone through another mobilization round. And that tap is being turned on and we're starting to see the effects of it. Indeed, there's reports that some new units were operating alongside the elite units in this incursion into Kursk. Again, on the defense industrial base, they're making progress. I mean, like, if you look at one of the most important things is the production of drones, and they have a large and accomplished indigenous drone manufacturing thing. And they're getting help. One of the pledges from the last NATO summit was to boost their industrial output. So that takes a while. But if you think that Ukraine is going to go toe-to-toe on its own with the Russian state, in terms of manpower and industrial capacity, I don't think that's going to happen. It just needs to improve it to a degree. One of the biggest indicators, I think, here, and you're even seeing the operational impact of it now, for example, Ukrainian forces are trying to attack out of this salient, and they're trying to drop a bridge, which the Russians are using to bring forces in. And they're struggling to do it because they don't have access to the long-range, heavy ordnance-guided missiles like the ATACMS or the Storm Shadow air-launch missile, which the UK and US have not given the Ukrainians permission to use inside Russia. So that would be an important change.
Yeah, and that's my last question to you. How much enthusiasm do you think there is in Berlin, in Paris, in Washington for this incursion?
I think they're fairly happy about it. I don't think there's any problem with that at all. Where you find the resistance, of course, is about these longer range missiles and the potential for escalation there. But the fact that the Ukrainians are now exploiting the situation, taking Russian territory, bringing the fight to them using Western vehicles at the tactical level, so from tanks and guided small anti-tank guided missiles downwards, I don't think they have a problem at all.
Okay. Patrick Bury, very enlightening talking to you as always. Thank you very much. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.